It's time for Fairbanks Foodies. A look at everything food-related in Fairbanks. Fairbanks Foodies is brought to you by Hoodoo Brewery, Bobby's Downtown, Quality Food Sales, and the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Now, here's your foodie host, David Proust.
Fairbanks, welcome to our April edition of Fairbanks Foodies. We're getting great sunshine out there. It's time to maybe go out on the deck or maybe not. But what I wanted to do this week was bring three very good people in here. I've got Glenn Anderson, Chuck Lemke, and Gary Black. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to experiment cooking with a Dutch oven. I don't get to do it that often, and we're coming into the summer session where I do a lot of cooking out on the deck. So it's April, and I'm wrapping up my winter-style cooking, my hearty cooking, and I wanted to use a Dutch oven. On this show, we explore everything. We look at recipes. We look at menus. We look at restaurants. We look at wine. But today, I'm looking at a chicken dish that I did. And what I did was I said, okay, I went and I got a 3.5-pound chicken fryer, and then I cut it up. Now, when you're cooking with a chicken fryer, you're going to have different cuts of meat, and hopefully they all got done. I'm having the thigh, and it's done perfectly. But I thought, okay, if I'm going to cook this, I want it all done, and what am I going to add to it? So I thought, of course, I'm going to get some onion and some celery. I'm going to get some cream. I'm going to get some chicken stock. I'm going to get some herb medleys. I'm going to also throw in some potatoes and some mushrooms. One pot cooking, all into one. And what I did was I took and I prepared the chicken, full 3.5-pound, 4-pound fryer, cut it all up myself, braised it in my Lodge pot Dutch oven. Then I took it and I braised it and I took it out. Then I put in my onion and my celery and I sauteed it, and then I threw in some garlic to add some taste to it. And then I deglazed it. And I deglazed it, not with wine or chicken stock. I used cognac.
Oh, really?
Now, cognac is basically, you take the Grand Champagne grape, and you distill that, and you, you get brandy. You take that and you distill it again, and you get cognac. And I enjoy cognac. You could use brandy, wine, anything like that, but I braised the vegetables there in it. Then I put the chicken back in, put in some chicken stock, and on top of that I put in mushroom caps, full caps, and cubed up potatoes. And then I took a medley of herbs, tied it all together, a bunch of it, put it in, and I put it in the Dutch oven at 350 degrees for 30 minutes. At 30 minutes, I pulled it out, put in some cream, put in some more medley of herbs, stirred it all around, put it in for 15 minutes. It's been resting here for about 10, 15 minutes before we tried it. Mr. Lemke, what do you think?
Could you get back to me after I finish eating
this? Yes.
What was the very first part again? No. No, it's wonderful. Now, you said you added herbs and spices, and then you added again a second time. Did you add more of the same, or did you add a second type of herbs that maybe don't need to simmer as long?
What I did was I tied together.
Because you can taste them.
Rosemary.
Yeah, I got the rosemary.
Thyme.
Right.
The tarragon, and I put that in by itself. Then when I added the second level of herbs with the cream, I had more tarragon, and I diced it up, chopped it up, and I put it in diced, stirred it all in that way.
Oh, so it's not just flake tarragon, then? It's
no.
Diced up. Okay.
Yeah.
You can definitely taste it.
Yeah. Now, you're looking at adding a wine to this, and you know, in college, I grew up in San Luis Obispo. So here I'm in Fred Meyer's. And in October, I went wine tasting in San Luis Obispo and up in Atascadero and Paso Robles. And the one winery I've always wanted to go to is the Dow. And it's always booked. It's always full. So here I am in Fred Meyer's. Okay, I better get a nice bottle of white wine for this. And there's Dow Sauvignon Blanc staring at me. I go, oh, yeah. Affordable, under $18. Good wine that I believe matches up well. Mm-hmm. Mr. Black, what do you think?
The wine does match up very well, especially with the light cream, I'm going to call it a sauce, cooking juice, however you want to phrase it. So good job on the wine and the chicken. It's very rustic. The whole dish is very, it looks like you spent a lot more time on it than you actually did.
You know?
Like it has been simmering on a slow and low all day long in the oven type thing. Has that feel to it.
Yeah. It's very French style. I went back to France, and this was basically a peasant-style cooking process. You know, they would go get rabbit or chicken, and they would cook it this way, throw everything in one pot, and it's so flavorful. It's just the basis of their cooking. Mm-hmm. And I thought I would do one more of these in a Dutch oven before I go barbecue God on everyone.
Is this something you've done before, or
no.
Is it just kind of a
this is something
a day proof special?
Yeah, you know,
guinea pigs is what
I told Glenn. I was going to do a chicken fricassee, you know, French, and I go no, I'm going to do something else here. I'm going to do this, and then at the very end, Chuck saw me. I added a little bit of Romano cheese in the sauce just for a little bit more of a finished taste. Because I had Romano cheese in my refrigerator. So I looked in my, I looked in my cabinets. Excuse me. And the only thing I really had to shop for was the chicken. Everything else I really had.
Everything else is there, right?
Yeah.
Well, see, this was a very worthwhile reason for the chicken to cross the street.
to get to our side. Yeah.
See, and I was hoping for the fricasseeing thing because I had a fricasseeing rabbit license joke that I was just dying to throw out from old
school.
Do it. Everybody knows it. Come on, anybody that's ever saw Bugs Bunny knows the... Remember the old Chuck Jones joke where Elmer is hunting him and Daffy's going, well, you need a license. And he goes, well, do you have a fricasseeing rabbit hunting license? And he pulls up his leg, and of course Bugs has a fricasseeing tag on. You do have a fricasseeing rabbit license, don't you? And of course he doesn't, so he shoots Daffy in the face. But you can't do that anymore. So
unless you're Will Smith.
Yeah. Then you get an award.
Yeah.
Okay, so as long as we're telling jokes like that, I wrestled in high school and college and then coached in that. And one of the things that I'd always do with young people is in working with different moves than that, I'd tell them, okay, put in the henway. And the people would like, what's a henway? And I says, well, about 3.5 pounds. <Ba-dum-bum>. So, and you can use that anytime you want.
Chuck,
but you see, that was the buzzer of bad joke. Bad joke buzzer. Yeah, yeah. Bad joke buzzer.
He'll be here all night. Make sure to tip your wait staff. He's got two shows.
Now, also with this, what it allows is my chicken is basically shreddable.
Mm-hmm. It is,
it's,
yes.
It's done. Now, that's thinner than what you're having. I purposely gave you the chicken breast. Much thicker. Has to cook longer. But with this style of cooking, you get everything in there. In fact, I still have a couple legs in there that probably just done perfectly, too.
Absolutely. And everything along with it, the potatoes are cooked just the right amount. They're not falling apart. They're just right there. They're not, al dente. They're the way they should be. And the mushrooms, and a lot of people don't know how to effectively incorporate mushrooms and what to do with them. And you have these cooked whole.
Yeah.
And they're just delicious. Another thing that can be done is as you're cooking mushrooms like this, whole button mushrooms and that, you can boil them first.
Yeah.
And then season them, and then they can go in.
At the end.
And you can control.
Yeah.
And it's like, but you've got
everything. There's so many variants of this. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. This is basically a chicken stew of large portions and anything else you want to do. So,
absolutely. No, and it's... it's just right. It's juicy. It's pull apart. Mm-hmm. It's got all these different combinations. And like you say, it's one pot.
Yeah.
That's a delightful thing.
All my cleaning was so easy. The only thing I got to do when I get back to my house is these dishes. I mean, it was the cleanest I've ever left my kitchen in a long time. This is great. Oh, boy. But, again, you know, we're coming into barbecue season. That's where everything goes out the window in cleanliness. What the heck?
Well, and I have to identify that last Sunday I went out. I still had a mound of snow on top of my grill,
mm-hmm.
and I went to start it up, and the tank was empty. And it's like, okay, well, now I had to dig it out a little bit to get to where the tank was.
Yeah.
And then fortunately, I had another fire table that we have that we just use as a gathering place, and there was a tank in there, so I didn't have to go digging out all the other tanks, and so I did fire the grill up and cooked, roasted vegetables and the like.
Haven't fired up the grill yet. I'm very close. I'm very close. Normally, when it's just so much effort. It just doesn't want to burn right. At least on mine. You have like the egg, so that's like cheating. Insulated.
I've got the smoker. Yeah. I've got the egg, and I've got the gas grill. And the only thing I've used so far is the egg. But the next time we do this, I already know what I'm going to do. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a pork tenderloin. You know, it comes in halves.
Right.
Well, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the mallet out and crush it down a little bit. And then from there, I'm going to put in ingredients to wrap it and roll it. And then I'm going to throw it. Then I'll know if I'm going to grill it or put it on the smoker. But what I want to do is get a char on the outside and have it still tender on the inside. That char on the exterior of a meat from the grill, however you want to do it, gives a very good texture, but also a really wonderful taste. A light char, not a blackened, everything like that. So I saw this recipe that I, got about 5 years ago, and this, you put it in that bin where I got to do this one day. And I came across it yesterday. I said, I'm doing that next. So.
And you're going to keep us in suspense here?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So anyway, a lot of fun, the things that you can do. And Fairbanks, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a commercial break, hear from some of our wonderful sponsors, and a shout out to the Food Bank, one of our new sponsors.
Yay.
And we'll be back after these messages.
Hoodoo Brewery. Sure, you grab a cold one after work with your friends and coworkers in the amazing beer garden. Or maybe fill up the growler on the way home. Hoodoo Brewery. Some of the finest beer in all of Alaska, right here in Fairbanks, right in the heart of downtown. Now you can order your beer online at hoodoobrew.com or sign up for a tour of the brewery. Score some cool Hoodoo swag and support your local beer meisters. That's Hoodoo Brewery, a strong supporter of Fairbanks and local events, large and small. Hoodoo is always there with a cold one just for you. Hoodoo Brewery.
At Bobby's Downtown, we are more than a Greek restaurant that offers fine dining. It's our way of life. And we invite you to come in for lunch, dinner, and late night. We are proud to call Fairbanks home, and we love using locally sourced ingredients in our traditional Greek and American dishes. So come in from the cold and warm up at the bar with a heated handrail and enjoy a glass of wine from the always expanding wine selection. We hope to see you soon at the always non-smoking Bobby's Downtown on the corner of 2nd and Barnett.
It's great to be able to enjoy our favorite local restaurants once again. And you can thank the folks at Quality Sales Food Service. Even during the toughest of times, they were making sure local eateries had the food and supplies needed to keep their businesses open. Quality Sales Food Service, Interior Alaska's number one food supplier, teaming up with Gold Bond Marketing, have allowed them to buy in volume and keep prices low, which helps keep your dinner costs low as well. That's Quality Sales Food Service, the food suppliers for your favorite restaurants. Online at qualitysales.net.
Do you have a little or even a lot of time to share? You can help with the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Call 45-SHARE and get on the schedule. The Fairbanks Community Food Bank collects and redistributes food through many programs, including food boxes, bone builders, and agency shopping. The Fairbanks Community Food Bank, helping to ensure that no child in the Tanana Valley will go hungry. Call 45-SHARE to volunteer to help now at the Fairbanks Community Food Bank, providing food for hungry people without charge. This message brought to you by the radio station at 529 Fifth Avenue.
And now, back to Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio.
Fairbanks, welcome back. It's tough to be us at this moment. We're I've got Chuck Lemke, Gary Black, Glenn Anderson, and myself, and we're in a studio eating very, very good food and pairing it with a very nice Sauvignon Blanc wine.
My wife's favorite, by the way.
From Dow, a very good winery in Paso Robles area. And enjoying ourselves. This is what food is all about. People getting together, enjoying the camaraderie, the eating, some ideas, things like that. Mr. Lemke, you are very exceptional with your gastronomical skills. Are you still or ever going to be back at Spinard putting on your classes again?
I was just in with the people over with the powers that be there, and they have totally redone the kitchen.
Right.
Oh, so can I be your rag boy? You know, your cleaning agent.
That would be a guest or celebrity chef. You would fit in either category in that. But yeah, once we get everything going again, they're trying to get everything refined, and that so we're bringing everything back in because they pulled it out and put it into storage and that. So all my pots and pans and paraphernalia. And so we're looking at when we might wish to start this again. But yeah,
and you do that on Saturdays.
Do that on Saturdays from 10 until noon, and they have been just great about this. So, you know, been doing this for about 8 years now.
Yeah,
and it's just been a lot of fun over that time. You know, to have done a lot of different things. What I try and do there is take dishes, like you say, you know, copy some things. You know, I'm real particular about if you're going to do a dish that is going to be like a steak au poivre or a steak Diane or something like that, make it original. Follow the recipe and that.
Yeah.
But otherwise, go ahead and you can wind up making it your own.
Right.
You can, you know, you can.
Sort of like this was.
Well, and this is, you know.
Prime example.
Once again, the next time you make that, you might not have all the ingredients, but it will still be a wonderful dish.
Yeah.
And so. I refer to that as themes and variations.
Yeah.
But like I've identified before, you cook in one of three ways. You either cook by intent, where you're going to take Juliet Childs, or you're going to take, Jacques Pepin's recipe for a particular thing.
Right.
And so you'll go out and get those specific ingredients so you can make it to the letter. The other way is by content, and that's by what you have in the fridge, in your larder,
like an episode of Chopped.
That's right.
Yeah.
Open your basket. You know,
what do we have?
And then the third way is by oops, where you're in the process.
I do that a lot. Yeah.
And it's a good way to do it. It's like you added something you didn't want to. You added more heat than you wanted to, or should have, or not enough. And it turns out, you know, if you're dealing with good things and you treat them reasonably, they should come out good. The problem there is, how did I do that?
Right.
You know, can I redo it again?
Yeah. I do that a lot.
Yes.
Right now, I find myself, like, I'll find a recipe online for a meal, and I'll start following it to a T with all, but then I'll kind of deviate from the original recipe and say, you know, this is good, but I bet you if I add this, this, and this, I could make that sauce or that thing. And my wife will freak out. Like, no, follow the recipe, the recipe. But when I don't, it always turns out better.
You see, and here's this deal. I'm going to get to you on that here in a moment. But first, I'm going to go to Mr. Black, because Mr. Black used to be the food editor.
Yes.
And there are so many recipes I got from him at the Daily News Miner that were so good. I mean, still, I've got things 15 years ago. And Mr. Black, your newspaper still does that, still produces some good stuff. I mean, I religiously look in your paper, you know, Saturdays, Sundays for your features on the food.
Always.
And it's been a while. I have, as titles have changed and positions have merged and whatnot, I've slacked off a little bit on that because it is time consuming. You do it at your house and you take a photo and then you make sure it's plated well so it reproduces well. So it's actually a lot of effort.
As you can tell, we had no effort in plating here.
For it to appear in print and online, it's more work than it seems.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, though, because you get to sample all these things that you would never make yourself. You're like, I'm going to try this and put it in the newspaper.
Right.
And then it works. You know, like Chuck and David and Cliff said, wow, that turned out really well.
Yeah.
How do I do this again?
Yeah. You know?
And now taking the photos of the food has to be difficult because I cringe whenever I see TV ads, local ones, where they show the food. Because, you know, when they do it on a national ad, if the food's not real, they're adding it up. They're spraying it. They got lights. They'll spend all day on it. They don't do that here. And so often the food comes across on TV ads. You know, they'll show it coming out of the kitchen. It's like, oh, my God, that's a horrible looking. Don't do that again.
It took a lot.
And it's hard.
A lot of trial and error to figure out proper food photography or at least appetizing food.
You have to make it look. It could be well plated and look beautiful. But if the photo isn't right and the light isn't right, it just looks terrible.
Light.
It's all about light, shadows, and making the food. And that'd be a whole separate deal. It's just because we all like to take photos of our food. Let's say when you've got a good plate, you're going to show it off.
Oh, yeah.
There's this one time we were in here with Bruce Abbott wine tasting, and I brought in a soup. And it had both brie and blue cheese in it and some other things, and I made it up. And the next thing I know, Gary's saying, can I get, and I give everyone the recipes. The next thing I know, Gary's saying, can I put this in the newspaper?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And we did. That ran on the food page.
Yeah. And we've had other people in here with their food, and he's ran it. He does a great local section in the newspaper. Then I like looking, Glenner, in the summer, about Sunday or Monday, at your Facebook page, because you show what you and M did. You know, you're out one night in the public and in your home one night, and you're showing on Facebook some creation of what you did.
I love that with food. I'll always take good a photo of it. If it looks good and I know it tastes good.
It's very inspiring.
I will take a photo of it every time. Because I think with Maria and I, and we had this conversation, you were talking earlier about food and how important it is to have it and share it with friends in the conversation.
Yeah.
We had a conversation, we were cooking, because we always cook together. You get home, you get some wine, you put on some music, and then and my favorite thing, I think even more than cooking it or eating it, is cooking it.
Yeah.
And it's that
absolutely
time
right
together when the two of us are in the kitchen together. We're a machine, and we work so well together. One's cleaning this up, putting this away, and one's chopping up these while the other one's sauteing this. And cooking it together and having somebody to cook with is, to me, every bit as important as somebody to eat it with.
Yes.
And it's so nice. I like it so much. And over the last few years, I've come to really like it. Almost more than the eating thing is just the cook getting home. I get excited when we come up with a meal or something we're going to make. The other day I did a couple nights ago, it was a beef tips from Tommy G's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I did
the duck.
and I did like a garlic beef burgundy wine sauce over some pasta.
Stop, you're killing me.
And it was awesome. But
pasta?
Yes. And it was wonderful. I used like an egg noodle over it, almost a, you know.
There's a term I'm looking to call you at now. Dog.
Yeah,
it that was, sounds great.
But it was and as good as it is, and I have leftovers in the fridge here at the station that I'm now going to have tomorrow because you just fed me. But again, it was the cooking, sitting there and eating with Maria, and you know, sitting there and having a glass of wine and eating, listening to music is wonderful. But cooking it with her for me was even better.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting. This is going to air about a week before Thanksgiving. Excuse me, not Thanksgiving, Easter.
Easter, right. Well,
and,
you know, a different holiday.
And so, Gary, what do you have planned for Easter?
Because I will be at my brother's house, and he'll probably do a ham. So, and I don't have to cook. That's the best thing about it.
Oh, that's the best. When you can shrug a holiday dinner responsibility, we just remain quiet.
I will bring the wine.
I'm just going to show up and let him do everything.
So. Jesus converted water to wine. I will bring the wine.
And if you stay quiet during the holidays and you have a big family locally and you stay quiet, you just stay quiet long enough for one of them to volunteer to make
the
food.
Best
and
thing.
Then you go. Yeah. That's right.
Chuck, what are you going to do?
Themes and variations on boiled eggs and chocolate.
I'm not going to cook rabbit.
No, well, and that's the thing. And rabbit, if you're eating, you know, Eastern European and that, or in France or whatever, rabbit is going to be a big part of this. But that's something we're not as accustomed to here, and so it's not in our, you know, larder here. We're not going to the
odd considering how many rabbits we have. But
you can get local rabbit from local farms and local establishments.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And it's delicious. I've done it. It's great.
Rabbit, squirrel, things of that nature that aren't commercially, you know, produced as much as they might be in that. But they're wonderful things, you know, different ways of preparing them and looking at them. It's sort of like working with fish. Most people have gotten down to where they're comfortable with a fillet.
Right.
You know, but working with whole fish and things of that nature, most people don't do that. So you go to Fred's and you look in the case, everything is a fillet or a steak there, and they're not accustomed to taking a whole fish, working with that, poaching it or grilling it, or whatever you want to do with it. And so we have not moved that far away. Well, we haven't moved far from our roots in that this is how things were prepared.
Yeah.
And that's just sort of the fun part of it. But I like that, too. Like you mentioned, you almost prefer or enjoy the cooking and the serving and making it look good. And that's the thing. You wind up, you know, you eat in four different ways. You eat with your nose, then
your eyes,
then your palate. You know, and then with a good tip, you know. but that's the way. If you leave any of those out when you're making a meal and you're serving people, because you're doing it, it's a love thing. You know, food in the kitchen, when we talk about the kitchen, it's about something we're giving. It's a gift that we're giving to family, friends, whomever. And if you forget one of those, you know, when you come in, like as a kid, when you came in and if your mom or your dad or whomever made some chocolate chip cookies, why, you'd come in the house or barely get in the house. It was like,
yeah,
okay, I know what is in there, you know. And your hand would immediately take the shape of a cold glass of milk. And
see
the cookie.
The hot cookie and dunk it in. Glitter, what are you doing for Easter?
I'll be skiing, so I'll probably bite the head off a chocolate bunny and down some tequila. I'll be straight up with you.
Where are you going to be skiing at? Skiland or outside?
I'll probably go to Skiland, Moose maybe, depending if
and
they're
dinner
open.
That night will be?
You know, I'm not a real big Easter guy. I'm not a real religious guy. I'm not, okay. My family, some of my family is, and we would do it, but I might just head to Chuck's for some of that squirrel meat. I'm telling you, now that I know that squirrel meat is on the menu at Chuck's for Easter.
You know, for me, it's not just religion. It's the camaraderie. And I'm going to be over at my friend Doug and Linda's house, and you're talking about working well in the kitchen. Well, Doug's also a cooking partner of mine in competition, barbecue competition.
Right.
So, but we get to his house, and he's got every toy in the world. I mean, he's, you know, engineer. Anytime anything of mine breaks, I bring Doug over to fix it. You know, he's my engineer guru, keeps David barbecuing. And so him and his wife, Linda, they're going to be doing a lamb, be it leg of lamb, stuffed lamb.
So that's another classic for Easter,
but the people come over, then we'll bring the sides. We'll bring some of the sides. And so it's just that camaraderie of cooking on a holiday, be it religious, be it Thanksgiving, whatever it is. Get in the kitchen, enjoy yourself, be with your friends, be with your family. You don't have to cook. You don't have to do the dishes, but enjoy the people you're with. Mm-hmm. That's what cooking
and
food
is.
That is,
right.
And when Glenner designed this show, he probably had that in mind. Just get people in here, enjoy the process, enjoy the camaraderie, enjoy the food.
And it's taken off. And obviously, there's a lot of like-minded people in the Fairbanks area because we get a lot of listeners to this show, so it's very cool.
Fairbanks, that is our show for today. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Y'all have a good Easter. April now, and
so you've got something.
It's time for me to get the barbecues, all of them, five of them, all six of them out.
Okay, so
it's time.
It's like choosing your favorite child. I don't have one. I'll use them all.
Yeah, right. At least secretly, you won't tell the one that you really it best.
Yeah.
So now you're not going to tell us what the secret is, but you know, a nice rack of lamb would be very good.
I'm just oil saying.
Oil with rosemary in it and stuff like that, and then
show a little gumption.
You'll see it when you see it. Fairbanks, you have a great day, and I'll see you next Saturday.
You have been listening to Fairbanks Foodies on 97.5 FM KFAR and 660 AM, also streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen to this or any past episodes, go to the archive page on the website. Fairbanks Foodies has been brought to you by Bobby's Downtown, Quality Food Sales, Hoodoo Brewery, and the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Fairbanks Foodies has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active for KFAR Radio.